I don't know if y'all remember any of the Muppets.
You know.
So anyhow, praise God. These next few chapters in Jeremiah we're going to see God's provision in his life as everything comes against him. As he's standing for the truth, what I saw in studying through the scriptures and stuff, he's in his early mid-60s right now in his life, in this particular time that he's in. So he's been in, it's been about, you know, he's coming up into 60 years old, somewhere around in there. And we're about to see some really, really hard physical imprisonments and some hatred for this saint, for this prophet of God, especially in the next chapter. But he'll be imprisoned here, Zedekiah the king. And if my wonderful speech helper there will help me with some of the names as we come across them. I tell you what, I didn't mention it to you earlier, and I guess I need to mention it now. Thank you so much. I mean, because y'all know me, I have a real hard time when it has more than just four or five letters in it. You know, some of these names have like a lot of letters in them, and I try. Even in my office, I went today when I was going through this, looking at these names and stuff, and I got it on the computer and I had them tell me what it said and all that kind of stuff. I cannot make my tongue bend that way. Not yet. Yeah. When I die and go to heaven, I'm sure I'll say it all good. But until then, I'm stuck with talking American, not English. And so, anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for His Word. Father, we do thank You for the testimony that we're about ready to see from Jeremiah. Father, how he stands and he lifts his heart and his head and his life before You, regardless of what happens to his body. His mind and his resolve is always to Your Word, to Your calling on his life. Lord, and I thank You as we go through this, he never stops, he never backs down, he never gives in or gives over. He boldly proclaims the acceptable day of the Lord. And we thank You for that. I pray that You would move over Your body even now, Lord Jesus, and give us this same spirit of fearless determination to honor You with all that we have. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 37 of Jeremiah. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of
Benaiah,
the son of
Jehoiakim,
whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. So here you see that Nebuchadnezzar, before he actually conquers anything, is setting up kings, right? It's not like the bloodline of David is being the king, or the bloodline. Nebuchadnezzar saying, Joshua, you're king, right? Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar would say. And he's picking these guys out. But neither he nor his servants, verse 2, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah, the king, sent the son of
Shelemiah
and
Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah.
Amen. The priest to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. And Jeremiah came and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army came forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own lands. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying that the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against us, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet shall they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. Wow. Do you see what he's saying? Jeremiah is talking to the king. He said, listen, king, no matter what you do, the Chaldeans are going to win. All right, you called in, instead of going to the Lord God and repenting and asking for his hand, asking for his forgiveness, you went to the world, you went to Egypt, you went to the sinners, you went to godless people, people that do not honor and know the one true God. You went and got your help from them. And they came up. They came up and they decided, the Pharaoh came up with his chariots and they were going to help him out. And so they did. And when they came up, the Chaldeans saw him and they ran away. But Jeremiah is saying, don't be fooled by this. Do not deceive yourselves. What God spoke is going to happen. This city is going to crumble. I don't care who you get to help you. I don't care what kind of governmental assistance you're trying to get. You have sinned against me. Your money's not going to save you. Your social services is not going to save you. Your food stamps ain't going to help you. There's no governmental power on the face of this earth that's going to stop God's hand from doing what God's hand's going to do. And so he says, don't be fooled by this, which made the king angry. You know, because he said, I got a good plan. I got a plan. I got a plan to defeat these people that are coming against him. And it sounded good. In fact, even when the Egyptians rode up out of Egypt and they came in with their chariots and the Chaldeans, they ran away. They fled. Well, that sounded, to Zedekiah, that looks good. But see, the God of all creation said that this is, my word's going to stand. I'm going to burn this city with fire because of the sin of God's people. I'm going to do that. I don't care. There is no help on this earth for you because God's hand's moving against you. Right? And so, excuse me. Verse 11. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for the fear of Pharaoh's army, when Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there whose name was
Arijah,
thank you,
son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah.
And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him, so
Arijah
took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. So when he came to the land of Benjamin, give me your Benjamin, sorry, but he came to the land of Benjamin, the chief guard there said, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. You're not standing with your king. And he wasn't standing with this king, but he wasn't standing with the Chaldeans either. He was standing for God. Jeremiah was always standing for God. He says, listen, man, you're not understanding. I'm not for you, and I'm not for them. I'm standing for God. I didn't fall away to the Chaldeans just because I'm telling the truth of God's word. That doesn't mean that I hate God's people. Folks, when we tell the truth to people and it's not something that they want to hear, expect the enemy to rise up. Expect their dander to get all twisted up on the inside. And they're not going to like the message that you have to send. But if you are speaking God's word, amen, make sure you're speaking what the Lord has told you to speak. And you can see it in Scripture. If you do what God tells you to do, He'll take care of you. Now, as we're coming into this, he's about ready to be thrown into prison. And then he's going to be thrown into a deeper prison. And then he's going to be thrown into a deeper prison. All right? So we're going to look at some things. And if you put yourself in Jeremiah's place, it will look like God has forsaken you. When you look at just his physical, what is really happening to him as an individual, as a man who stood for righteousness. Now, it doesn't say that his heart was falling away from God, or his mind was falling away from God. But if you only look at the physical circumstances that he's about ready to get into, it will appear that God is saying, you know, that God doesn't love you, that God's turned his back on you. Because if God loved you, why would you be going through such great turmoil in your life? But God never turns away from his people. Amen? And so, verse 15. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. All right, verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Now, in my mind's eye, I have the picture of a dungeon from a castle, right? I was in Germany. I went to many different castles there. I saw the dungeons where they keep people. But then it says cabins, the dungeons and the cabins. When I looked this word up, because I was thinking dungeon, and I'm thinking of a cabin like on a lake shore, right? And so when we think of cabin, we think of something else. This here would be considered a water cistern on the inside of a dungeon. All right, so you're in a dungeon, and you're in a cabin in the dungeon, a deeper hole. So there's the inner prison, and there's the innermost prison. So that's where he's at. He's in the innermost prison. A cabin, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is," for he said, "Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king of King Zedekiah, "What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against thy people, that ye have put me in prison?" Now, catch where the scene now. Zedekiah has him in prison, or the folks in Benjamin have him in prison, in the dungeon, in the deepest part of the dungeon. Zedekiah goes, pulls him out of that privately and brings him to his house. All right? Not in front of anybody, just me and you. I don't want anybody of my inner court to know that I'm talking with you, right? So this is all hush-hush. This is just between me and you, Jeremiah. Now tell me what's really going to happen. I'm sure that Zedekiah the king was hoping for a different word from Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had been many days in the dungeon's dungeon. He has been in the deepest part. And so, all right, Jeremiah, have you changed your story yet? All right, are you ready to come on my side a little bit? Can you prophesy something good? Right? And that's the scene as I'm reading this. That's what I'm seeing in my mind. In verse 19, where are there now the prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, "The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land"? Jeremiah talking to the king. "Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan, the scribe, lest I die there." So that lets you know the condition that he was in. All right, listen, if you send me back there, I'm going to die. But I can't not tell you what God's told me. All right, so just tell me that. And then Zedekiah the king commanded that he should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's sheet until the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then
Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Jedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying,
"Whew, praise God. Thank you so much. I can't, I am so great. Thank you, Lord God, for you. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princess said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remaineth in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Now, okay, the high-ranking governors, the princes of the people, we would call them senators, Republicans, Democrats, courts, justice, the people over top of them, said this man, because the truth that he's saying, ought to be put to death. When you speak truth into darkness, when you speak God's word, when you stand up and say, no, gender confused person, you are the gender in which you were born under. Right? Did anybody see that perversion that happened on the White House lawn? Mm-hmm. Praise God. If you get the chance to see it, turn away. It's repulsive what our governing bodies are allowing to happen. Not just the degradation of the flag of America, which, big deal, it's just a flag. But what the trans confused individuals were doing on the White House lawn would make people in Sodom and Gomorrah blush. It was disgusting. But our White House celebrates that. Our government, our princes celebrate that. So when we stand up and say, this is disgusting, this is wrong, expect them to try to put you in prison. Wasn't it in Florida where there's the transgender parade on one side and then a man simply reading the Bible on the other side of the street? And they came and put him in jail for simply reading the Bible. He wasn't preaching to nobody. He wasn't hollering at anybody. He was just reading the Bible out loud. And the princes came and took him and locked him up. In Florida, everybody thinks that Florida's the best place in the world. Not because there's a big gay mouse down there, but because DeSantis is the mayor. And they think the world is always sunny in Florida. Well, no. Wickedness, this is a spiritual wickedness over the complete land of America, from New York all the way down to Florida. If you stand against the evil of this day, expect the princes of this day to have you, they want to kill you. Just like they did Jeremiah. There is no difference between them and us. Because against the welfare of the people. Did y'all hear what the senator said just about affirming children's little kids, little children in elementary school, to be able to go and surgically mutilate those children? It's for their welfare to mutilate 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old children to cut their parts off. It's for their own good. That's in our White House. That's our governing body. I'm not saying all of them there are like that, but I'm saying there's a vast majority that are there that are like that. And so anyhow, so it's not undifferent than what was happening here in Jeremiah's day. It's so similar, you cannot break it out of my mind. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not, is not he that can do anything against you. Isn't that what O'Biden says? I can't do anything against you, so y'all just go ahead and do what you want to. In Romans talks about anybody who does these things or anybody who agrees with these things is worthy of death. And he's not talking about a physical death. He's talking about the eternal death, damnation, cast into hellfire. Right? That's what he's talking about in Romans. Now, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of
Melchiah, the son of Hamelech,
that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords in the dungeon. There was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when
Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian,
one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, and
Ebed-Melech,
thank you, my sister, went out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord, the king of these men have done evil in that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded
Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian,
saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So
Ebed-Melech,
amen, took the men with him, and he went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast cloths and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords unto the dungeon to Jeremiah. And
Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah,
"Put now these old cast cloths and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So catch the picture here. You're in the inner part of the dungeon. You're in the mire, right? Has anybody really walked in a swamp here?
Yeah.
All right, right? And so you step down in that spot and you go up to your knee. Well, it starts in this. Now imagine being dropped into this mire, this septic tank, as it would have been considered. And there's no solid ground. You hit it and you just sink. Right, and you're stuck in this mud. There's no drinkable water down there. There's nothing. You're there for only, it doesn't say how many days. Before it said he was there for many days. Then this Ethiopian has compassion. He heard where Jeremiah was, and he goes to the king. And the king says, "Yeah, go get him with some guys." And when he talks about casting down cords and casting down rotten rags, imagine 60 years old. You haven't eaten for days. No water to drink. Right, you're in the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon. No light. Stench around you. Just imagine the stench that was surrounding him. If he would have taken that rope and just wrapped it around him, they tried to pull him out, it probably would have cut his arms clean off. You know, just trying to break the suction of the mud.
And how many men?
30 men. Right? So we're not talking, it was an easy task. This was a serious. Now, in that position, would you think that God had abandoned you? I mean, you as an individual. I mean, I would have a hard time. You know, God, I've done nothing but preach your word. I've done nothing but stand for your righteousness. Why did you let this happen to me? As I was thinking that today in this, it came to me. It's not about you. It's not about Jeremiah. It's about the word that Jeremiah was told to preach. And expect the world to hate you when you stand for the righteousness of God. Expect that. And if they can, they will lower you into the mire. They will. But God never left him. God sent an Ethiopian eunuch back to the king who hated Jeremiah. Right? And God gave compassion to the king, because the king could have said, "Let him die there." And he would have been well within his kingship to do that. But God moved on the heart of Zedekiah the king to show enough compassion to get the Ethiopian eunuch and 30 men to go pull him out of that. And now when he comes out of it, he's still going to say, "Thus saith the Lord." All right, come on, folks.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Look Look at what this old man, 60 years old, hasn't eaten. He's been in one prison after another prison after another prison simply for preaching the word of God. Simply for saying, because of the sin of the people, God's going to send in this invading army, and they're going to conquer you. They're going to burn your houses down. Zedekiah, you're going to watch your children die in front of your face. Told that in, what, 15, I think, chapter 15. You're going to watch your children die, and then your eyes are going to be plucked out. And he told that to the king straight up. Here in a couple chapters, you're going to see that happen. See, God's word does not change. We got to hold on, like Jeremiah was holding on to the word of God, thus saith the Lord, and he was not going to back down. And then they put the clods, and so they drew up, verse 13, and they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. At least he was on dry ground, right? You know? Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him, unto the third entry that was in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? Sounds like Jeremiah got a little smarter. You know, because if I tell you what the Lord's going to tell me, you're going to want to kill me. Or you're just going to put me back in the dungeon. Right? But he still said it. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give you to the hand of these men that seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt surely go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me unto their hand, and they mock me. The king was more worried about what the world and his buddies would say about him than what God was going to do to him. How often does that happen? I'd love to tell somebody what the Word of God says, but I'm so afraid that they're going to hate me. I'm so afraid that if I stand up and say, marriage belongs to a born male and a born female. Male-on-male marriage doesn't work. It's not right. Female-on-female marriage, that's not marriage. That is an abomination before the Lord. You stand up and you say that, expect the government to come after you with a hammer and a sickle. No pun intended there. The communist movement will come against the righteous people of God. This communist movement is also known as the United States government. And I know that makes people disagree, but I can't see any difference between Stalin or Nazi Germany and the United States of America right now. I don't see the difference between it. They haven't come yet, but I'm telling you, they are coming. If you stand against the wiles of the evil of this nation, I mean, you really stand for it. They will hate you. They're going to hate you. And they're going to come at you with every weapon the government of these United States have. And it is united against the Word of God. So it's still United States. But they're not united for the people. They're united for the political system, which is run by the communist Satanists. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian. If you're in that cesspool, you're part of that cesspool. And anyhow. But the king said, listen, I'm afraid that the Jews, they'll mock me. The king's afraid because if he stands for the truth, if he goes and tries to save the city by following God's word, that the Jews of the day will mock him. President Trump, now mark my words here, President Trump, if he gets back into the office this next time, he will go the way of the political movement because he was mocked the last time he didn't do it. It may be disguised a little bit differently this time, but I will, in my inner person, I truly believe that he will go, he will do whatever he has to do to preserve the power that he lusts for. All right. Now, a lot of folks won't like that when I said it because they think Trump is Jesus to America, that he's going to save us all. He is not God. He's not the savior of America. The first time he was in office, he was not a politician. And so they're putting him through the mill right now. He's learned the political ways. He's a very smart businessman. And he will do whatever it takes to remain in power, just like Zedekiah is right here. He'll talk a good game. Well, he talked a good game the first time. But what really happened? Right? See, when he tried to stand up, the rest of the system stood against him and blocked him on every corner. This time, if by the will of God he gets put into the political office of President of the United States, he will start out the way that he did. But I'm certain, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm certain just because of the character of human beings, of people in that kind of power, he's going to want to preserve that power no matter what. And he will go the ways of the Democrats and the ways of the Republicans, just like other political people that we know that started out good, but once they got involved in the swamp, they became swamp creatures. Right? I can't name names, or I would name names of political people that have gone in clean and stayed there and got filthy, corrupted. Right? And so, Zedekiah, the king, is afraid of the people. And that they would mark him. Verse 20, but Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well with thee, and they and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath shown me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth into the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set on thee and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in a mire, in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all of the wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. And then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no man know of these words that thou shalt, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with ye, they shall come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now that thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also, what the king saith unto thee, then shalt thou say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. And it came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these things that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Okay, lot of stuff. Chapter 39, all of these things that were happening, the imprisonments and all of the warnings to Zedekiah, all of that stuff is going to unfold in the next couple of chapters between here and chapter 44. You're going to see all of these prophecies that Jeremiah said, how Judah and everything that Jeremiah has said up till now is going to unfold in the next couple of chapters. So all these times, all these troubles, God's going to lift up Jeremiah. In fact, the king of Babylon is going to befriend Jeremiah and take him down to Egypt. Right? In this whole scenario, God's hand and God's word did not change one time. If my people would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. All right? This was the cry of God then, and I believe that this is the cry of God today for the American church, for this people. But you look around you at those who call themselves Christian and ask yourself, just not trying to compare them, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a people group that will not turn into the ways of the world? The majority of the churches in America are already so corrupt. They are. I'm not throwing stones at nobody, right? I'm just telling you like it is. There's so few pastors that will stand up and say, repent. You're living a sinful lifestyle, and God's about ready to judge this nation because of the wickedness of the body of Christ in America. Talk to so-called or Christians all the time, and the vast majority of them really don't fear God. I don't have to fear God. God's my friend. You ask folks that used to come here, when you confront them with that, then they leave. You are God's friend if you do whatsoever he commands you. But if you're not doing his commandments, then you ain't God's friend. Right? Real plain. Regardless of what your mouth may say, what is your action in your life? And this is individual stuff, right? But if I do it, and Joshua does it, and Chris does it, and Bonnie does it, and I almost called you Amanda, Allison does it, and Jim does it, and Debbie does it, and John does it, the individual Christian really turns their heart and encourages other Christians to fear God and walk in his statutes and his commandments. I truly believe that God can heal this land. I know he has the power to. But there's not enough pastors behind pulpits in the churches of America to warn the people because they're afraid like Zedekiah was. They'll mock me. If I tell them the truth, they'll mock me. And I can't lose the congregation because we just built a $750 million building. How are we going to pay for that if I preach the truth? Right? It's become, instead of a living organism, it's become an organization. Instead of the body living and breathing under the headship of Christ, they're more concerned about the bankers and hurting people's feelings. I'd love to tell you the truth, but it's going to hurt your feelings. You might leave. Maybe that's why we'll never have a big group of people. Because I fear God way more. And if they lock me up and they put me in the mire, they put me in the cistern, they put me in the inner dungeon, that's what they do, that's what the government's going to do, and I'm fully expecting that. I don't know when, but if I keep preaching like this, and it's going out over the internet like this is going out over the internet, they're going to come. They're going to try to shut it down. Because God's word stands, and it scares them. that truth is being said. And scared people, a wounded bear or a scared bear, a defensive bear, kills everything in its path. And the wickedness of this government is as ferocious as any dragon, any demon, any devil that has ever flown in the heavens. And when you preach stuff like this, you preach Jeremiah, just the way it's written right here, it scares them. But as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. As for me, as for my house, Job, even though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Right? And I don't know.
Yeah.
It may not happen to me. You know? And I hope it don't. I hope that I'll be 105 years old preaching right here. And I'll tell you, it'll be the same message. Nothing will change. You know? Nothing will change because God's word does not change. Anyhow, I love you. I'm going to pray real quick and then we're going to have birthday cakes. So, dear Father, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for your love, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your word, Lord God. I pray that whoever hears these teachings, Lord Jesus, you would touch their heart. Father, that you would shake us to our very core and help us to know the power and the truth of the written, spoken word of God, Lord Jesus. Let us not fear those who can only take our life, but can fear, let us fear the one who can take our life and cast our soul into hell. Father, and I pray that my fear would always be towards you and not towards man or men's faces. Lord, help us to always speak truth with grace, filled with love and compassion. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.